Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 173. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Kisson, and tonight with me I have Thomas.
Hello.
And Wanda.
Hey.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Awesome.
Good. How is everyone? Holiday still?
Yeah. How was your Christmas, Thomas?
It was a food coma.
Actually, packed on all that extra weight?
Actually, it was my fault because I did all the cooking, so I went a little overboard. We had my mom and my brother down and my neighbors, Bob and Marilyn, and I did everything. I did turkey, I did ham, I did everything. So it was like 2 weeks of leftovers. I froze some. I think Terry's getting really sick of my cooking. But it was good. It was good. I didn't ask for any guns this year, so I didn't get a gun. No. But I did get one of those Lyman digital scales, so that was cool.
That's good.
What about you? What was your Christmas like?
Technically, I did get a gun. Sarah said I did get a gun because I got a patch gun, so it was pretty good.
Yeah.
What's a patch gun?
So it's, how do I describe it? It's like a plastic contraption that holds onto a roll of patches. So that you just pull a handle and it will automatically pop out another patch instead of having to peel them off of a strip and stick them onto a target for covering up all the bullet holes for when you're shooting competition or practice. I wanted one of my own just because for practice it would make life so much easier rather than having to either do it by hand or just, I used to just take a marker and I'd mark where my shots were. But after you've shot a target, you know, 50 times, you really can't tell what you did this time versus last time. So.
Yeah, it's like one of those guns for packaging boxes, those big tape things, but you can put it for patches, get smaller things, and just cover your target really fast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a much better description.
Yeah.
How about your Christmas, Wanda? How was it?
It was great. I did very low-key. I wasn't like Thomas. I didn't cook a turkey. I did like a turkey roll, you know, with the turkey and the dressing on the inside, and you just slice it up and bake it, right? Like I did simple this year.
So they're really good.
Yeah, they are really good.
We buy them throughout the year because we do like turkey, so Terry will buy those and just, you can cook them frozen, they're ready in a couple hours and just slice them up.
Yeah. Do you get them from M&M's?
Yes, actually, I like M&M's.
Yeah. That's where I got it from.
So, Thomas, what have you been up to lately in guns?
It's been a quiet season. I got to take my glasses off so I can see. I can't find my other glasses. I finally met up with Greg from Pink Pistols, and we met up to my range. He had a bar event. They were all supposed to be in a bar. That got canceled for lack of interest. He had two dates set up at the range, and they both got canceled because lack of interest and distances. Like, I think what he did, the range he contacted was near Guelph. So if you don't drive and you live in the GTA, it's going to be very difficult to get out there. So what I suggested that Gagnon's now has, who's the guy that did the, was it Chimera? Did the training out of FOC? They did the simulation and.
Oh, yeah, they have the simulation.
Well, now they have live fire. They're now working out of Gagnon's because FOC doesn't have the range going yet. So now they're working out of there. So I suggested, you know, since he lives in Oshawa, and starting the Toronto chapter is kind of defeating the purpose for him because he's got to go back and forth and everything. So I suggested contacting, I think it's Chimera or Gagnon's. You can do it two ways. You can go as a group to Gagnon's and just do your shooting. If you want some training, you can do Chimera and they have the simulation as well as the live fire. And if people live in the GTA, it's just a matter of them taking the go train out to Gagnon's and then he can just shuttle people back and forth. So I think that would probably be a better option than trying to organize people in the city and then take them, you know, an hour and a half or two west of the city and then bring them back. If you do it more centrally, he might get more interest. But he was a good shot. We had a good time. He's also kind of hoping that they get a chapter going in Ottawa. And I think his biggest goal is Quebec. I don't think they have any chapters in Quebec. So that was good. I met up with Levi, who's actually one of BennyLewis.ca students when Benny took Levi and his wife, trained them a couple of years ago. Levi got right into it and got his license, and he's been messaging me, keeping in touch since we did the shoot with Benny. And, you know, it's funny how people take your advice or ask for your advice and they don't take it. And he was asking, you know, what type of rifle to get. He wanted to do the maple seed. And, you know, I suggested either a 10/22, or if you want something a little less money, that the Remington 597 would do, or the Marlin, either one. But no, he went up to FOC and bought a $150 Chinese rifle. I think it was called a Scorpion or something, that they had on sale for Christmas for $150. So if he wants to do maple seed, I can lend him my rifle, or they have loaner rifles they could use. But it wasn't bad. I was surprised at the actual fit and finish of this rifle. The receiver was nicely done. The machining on the barrel was nicely done. The sights were horrible, but it had like a 3.5 pound trigger. So the only issue with it was like seating the magazines. You had to yap it in there, and half the time there were failures. So I think if he really wants to do maple seed, he's going to have to bore my 10/22, because I don't think his little $150 bolt action from China is going to do the trick. And he also bought his brother-in-law, Mendel. Mendel's a young guy, 21, and he was a lot of fun because he had that enthusiasm. He had the questions. He had a lot of knowledge. So I think Wendell's going to be the next one in his family to pursue his firearms license. And what else? Oh, yesterday I went to East Hill Outdoors with Aaron and his brother-in-law, Grant. I was actually taking everybody shooting with their brother-in-laws for some reason this winter. And I like East Hill Outdoors. It's a nice little range, 30 yards. It's on 24/7. You never get a green light to go down range. You have to put your headphones on before you even go, and there's an anti-chamber, and it gets cleaned out at the end of the day. So, and you've got your automatic target return, so you never really have to go down range, change your target, clean your brass, unless you want to. So I just can't rationalize the $1,200 membership fee for a 24-hour membership, but it's a nice little range. And I got to try a few guns there, actually, the last few weeks. I went there another time, too. I got to play with Grant's got the new Shadow 2. And it was a nice shooting gun. You know, the groups were really tight. Everybody likes CZs. I had a CZ 85 Combat. Trigger was nice. It was actually almost identical to my grandpa. The same roll, same feel. The only thing I didn't like about it, I guess it comes with extended safeties. This one didn't have the extended safeties. So I was hitting the slide release with my shooting thumb, which is unusual because it was so far back. But as far as fit and finish, it was a beautiful gun. What else? Oh, yeah, so Grant's looking. Grant's always been a shooter. His dad has a farm. He's got 700-800-yard rifle range. So he's into building long-range precision rifles. So he's just transitioning from shooting rifle, and he reloads and everything too, and he's just transitioning over to pistols. He's never tried pistols before. So he got the CZ, and he was looking for a 22. So Aaron brought his SIG GSG, which actually isn't bad compared to some of the ones I've seen. It shot pretty decent. So he tried the SIG. Then I talked him into renting the Smith & Wesson Victory. And that's a good thing if you belong to that range. If you want to try any gun and you're a member there, it's $15 to rent the gun. So it isn't bad. And, he really liked the Smith & Wesson Victory. I suggested just shoot a few more. Try a few more. See which ones you like. Because, you know, he's already got his center fire. Now he wants to get into a rim fire. So that was a lot of fun meeting Grant yesterday. And yet, one thing I was surprising, we were signing in and we were asking about holster certification. And he had the young man behind the counter said he had to check with the insurance carrier. And East Hill Outdoors is a CFI range. I think that's one of the first ranges they picked up in quite a while. I kind of thought for sure that the CCFR or the CCSA would pick it up. So the CFI, which is good because the CFI does have a lot of training courses and everything too. What else? Oh, so I wanted this Lyman digital scale for Christmas. So Terry just said, well, you know, when you're out, pick it up and give it to me. I'll wrap it up for you. So I was at the passport office, and my least favorite gun store was across the street. I'm not going to say the name, but my least favorite gun store is in Oshawa. And I went in the store, and I know the clerk, and I said, do you have this Lyman digital scale? And he said, yeah, they're over there. And I was over where he was pointing, and they just had the mechanical scale. And I said, I don't see it. And he took me right over, and he points to the mechanical scale. I said, no. I said, I want the Lyman digital scale. And he's, you know, busy putting price stickers on headphones and everything. And the owner was in the back on the computer, and he just said, "Hey, are we getting a lineman order in the next couple weeks?" And he said, "Nope." And the clerk said, "Sorry, man." That was it. He didn't offer to get it for me or anything. So I was kind of ticked off at that. So I drove out to East Hill Outdoors and went out and asked my friend Ross. I said, "Hey, Ross, do you have this in stock?" He says, "Nope, but I can get it for you." He goes on the website and he couldn't find it. But he was just clicking. He wasn't clicking on the right part. He was in the wrong spot. So he called the distributor. The distributor said, "Yeah, I've got him in stock." He apologized for that he couldn't find it. He goes, "I can get it for you by Friday." I said, "Great." Got it by Friday, and he gave me like a 25% discount on top of it. So shout out to East Hill Outdoors, because whenever I go in there, the customer service is great. You know, if they don't have it, they get it for me. And we were looking at their stock yesterday. They're starting to get a lot of shooting stuff in. They got sights in now. They got mag poles. They got some competition gear, but it's Uncle Mike's stuff, so that wouldn't be my choice for belts and stuff. But their stock is expanding, which is good to see.
Are they carrying a lot of handguns now that they have their own handgun range?
Yes. Yes, yeah. They do. They've got quite a selection.
Okay.
They don't have grand powers yet, but they do have quite a selection.
And can you try whatever they have in stock in the range before you buy there?
If you remember, yeah. They have packages where you can, which are expensive, because you're basically charging for the ammo, where you can go in as a new shooter and rent anything. You want to try Chris Vector, which Aaron did a couple weeks ago. He loved the Chris Vector. I think that one's $25 to rent. Like the bigger guns are $25, but the pistols and the smaller stuff is $15.
Is this, Thomas?
East Hill Outdoors, and they're still accepting membership. It's at 35115 north of the 401. It's actually just south of Orono on the east side.
Northbound.
On the northbound side, yeah.
Yeah. Just past 4th concession.
Yep.
Yeah.
You'll have to actually go up to the concession to turn around and get back down. But it's a nice little store. They've really expanded it. The range is nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm also thinking about if you're new to this, and you don't know what you like, you know, $25 or $15 might not be cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than spending $1,000 on a gun and finding out you don't like it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because I want to make a purchase.
It's a really good idea. Like, it's not cost effective if you're not a member, because you have to pay for an instructor, because you get the safety training and everything else. But if you're a member, you can get an associate membership there. I think it's not a lot, $144 or $188 a year, but you pay $35 every time you shoot. Or the standard membership is business hours, and it's six and change. You still have the option of doing the rentals for that price. And then it doubles when you want a 24-hour access.
Okay.
But it's still open every day. It's just, it's not a 24-hour range.
Yeah.
It is. Okay. But you pay for the extra. But
you pay for the extended hours. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, it's very well set up, very well maintained. It's new, which is nice, so it's clean.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And you've got the retail right inside, so you go in there, drop your guns, and you go buy your ammo, whatever you want, or you go see the person, the clerk at the desk, and say, "I'd like to rent this." They put no problem, they bring it out, they put it in a gunny sack, they hand it to you, take it to the range.
That's good.
That's really good.
Yep. So what else are you up to?
What else? I sold the gun. I know. I shouldn't be selling guns, but I sold a gun. I needed some cash money for SHOT Show coming up in a couple of weeks. And listener Josh had messaged me, and he sent me a picture of those Beretta surpluses that are coming around nowadays. The ones they have the magazine release on the heel, and got the, I think they're Italian, but thousands of them coming to the country right now. So you can get a base one for $400, or you get a select one for $600 or $700. And for that kind of money, you might as well spend $200 more and get a brand new Beretta. But the one he saw was, I think it was Gotenda for $399 for the standard version. Because he's talking about he either wants to do PPC or IDPA. His range wants to get some type of action pistol shooting. And, you know, he's a young guy, you know, a couple of kids, mortgage. So I was thinking about him after he showed me the gun. So I gave him a good deal. I sold him the ground power. I gave him three mags. I threw in an extra mag. And I gave him my holster for the Q100. So now he's all set. If he wants to do PPC or he wants to do IDPA, he'll need more holsters for IPSC and stuff. But now he's got a gun that he can compete with. So he was very happy.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, I gave him a good deal on it. He's a nice guy. He messages me frequently. He's the one that I suggested the he was looking at the GSG, and I suggested the Victory, and he much preferred the Victory. I guess that's about it. Oh, our fellow podcasts, Weird Beard and Aaron Paulette, have a new podcast out now. It's called Assorted Caliber Podcast. It's mostly Second Amendment stuff, but they do have a few little guys in there with different topics. And there's one guy in there called Oddball that I kind of like because he's been talking about knives lately. So I've been listening to their shows, but that's about it. I haven't done any competing. I've just, you know, taking people shooting. That's about it. What about you, Wanda? What have you been up to?
Well, the big news, a couple of weeks ago, I finally got my gun license in the mail. Yeah,
congratulations.
That's a big whooch whooch.
Yes, I know. The RCP so called me about you.
Yes. Thank you for whatever you said. So that was the big news. I got my gun license. So I was able to, over the holidays, go and purchase ammunition. I was so excited. I walked into Bullseye in London here and bought ammunition for George's nephew and for George for Christmas. So I was able to do that all by myself, and that was really exciting.
Did you buy any for yourself?
No, I did get some for Christmas. Well, oh. It wasn't really Christmas. It was a gift from George's dad to me for getting my gun license.
Excellent.
He got me some CCI ammunition for my .22. Yeah. So I had plans to go last weekend out to the range. We had the Maple Seed Challenge for December in our hands, and the guns were all loaded in the car. And I don't know, we got running errands and then didn't make it out to the range, and then it started raining, and so we didn't make it. But we have plans this weekend. We've got the January challenge all printed off, and we have plans to go this weekend, so I'm excited about that.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it. I haven't done a lot because I'm so green.
Yeah, but didn't you go to the Maple Seed?
I did go to the Maple Seed, and in when was that? May long weekend, I think we did, right?
Yeah.
So I did the Maple Seed, and I did pretty good. I can't remember what I shot. I mean, I didn't get my badge, my rifleman or anything like that, but it was really great learning some skills, because you take your gun license course, but they don't really teach you anything except how to put the safety on and off, like, basically. So it was nice to go out and learn to actually how to shoot, how to adjust your scope, and how to get some decent groupings on your targets. So that was really great. I hope to do one again this year, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
All right. Well, the only thing I've been up to for, geez, I haven't been on the show in a long time. I've just been running a lot of matches. I got a member at my club. He's going to help me run the 3-gun matches this year coming up, which is really exciting because, there's not a lot of 3-gun in this area. So, I think there's a lot of people who want it, but there's nobody who's running it. So it should be good. In the last year, I've took archery lessons. I've taken up archery. Now, not to a really high level. I just screw around with it in the backyard kind of thing, but.
Well, that way you can hunt, from your backyard, right?
Well, that's the whole purpose of it. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I got tired of having that 2-week hunting season of just sitting out in the cold. So now I can hunt when it's a little bit warmer, and when I don't get anything, I can hunt. I can get cold later in the year as well. So, yep. But yeah, I've been shooting a lot of matches. This year coming up is going to be a big one. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And recently, I've just been doing a ton of reloading and designing stages. One of the guys that was helping me run matches this year introduced me to SketchUp. And there's a YouTube video series someone does on how to essentially design a stage using SketchUp. It's like a 3D modeling program. So I started kind of playing around with that. And then I thought, well, why don't I start designing my matches for this year? So I've already designed I think, 4 matches. So that's good, which considering I figured that this year so far, I'm going to have about 11 matches that I'm going to be either running or helping run. So it's going to be a busy year.
Well, hopefully you can be shooting in those matches too.
Well, I should be shooting at every match. Like, that's, if I wasn't shooting at matches, I honestly probably wouldn't run them, just because
it's no fun.
That's why. Exactly. No fun. Like, I get some sort of, like, you know, there's some sort of enjoyment from, you know, designing stages, setting them up, you know, shooting and hanging out with your friends all next day when you're being the SO, but it only takes you so far. Shooting is the real reason why I do it. And the big reason why I started running matches at my club is because, well, it seemed like no one else was going to do it if I didn't. And I'd rather do it instead of watching it just die off. So.
Good stuff. Well, yeah. Clubs need people like you, because I've noticed that in the past with a lot of different clubs I belong to. If people don't want to do it, it's always the same person doing all the work. So kudos to you for starting it up.
Yeah, and I mean, Sarah was looking at my schedule and she said, you know, you're going to get burnt out. Like, this, you know, you're going to be lucky if you get past this year if you don't get burnt out. And I said, well, hopefully I'll run it enough that I'll get enough other people interested in it that I can start recruiting more and more help, right? I don't want to be doing it all by myself. I don't mind helping. I don't mind doing a lot, like a bunch of the, like, practice score stuff, because there's a bunch of guys who, they struggle with their email, so. You know, I'll help him with the practice score kind of thing. So I don't mind that. But
it's nice if you can get a rotation of people to go around so that you can relax and do a shoot without having to worry about the semantics behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's really a lot of what that's what drives me nuts the most. It's not the actual physical labor of it. The fact that I have to dedicate 2 days instead of one, like if you're just shooting, you only have to show up for 1 day. That kind of bugs me, but yeah, it's the semantics. It's dealing with people. I'm not good at that.
Really?
Really? No.
Yeah.
In harmony, really?
That surprises me.
Really? Oh.
Well. Yeah.
Well, Mike and I butt heads all the time. You're going to have to get used to it.
Really? Great. Look what I have to look forward to.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. So we're just going to move right on to our main topic, since it's, well, I don't know when this show will actually come out, but it's the new year. It's January 2019. So we're talking about our New Year's resolutions. So why don't we start with you, Thomas? What were your goals last year? Do you remember?
Stay sober.
And did you stay sober?
Ding.
I did.
Check that good box.
No, that's my New Year's resolution every year. So far it's been working.
How many days now?
11,600, and it'll be 92 or 93.
Wow.
So for people who aren't quick at math, how many years has that been?
32.
Congrats. Okay. Congrats.
But that's all I can say, because I'm not. Let's see what else. My goals this year were very few, because I've been having so many problems with my vision, and especially with my breathing. I can't run and gun. Forget it. And target shooting is, until I get this cataract fist, open sights are extremely challenging. It's really hard to see that front sight. So I've been switching to cross optics. That's what I've been doing. So mostly my shooting's been at the range with my rifles. I've had to switch from pistols to rifles the last year just to get the range in, because there's nothing more frustrating than knowing that you can keep them all in the black at 20 yards and then seeing the ability slowly start to disappear. So I find with optics, at least I can see the target now.
Have you tried shooting IDPA, I don't know, in the last dozen years or so?
No.
It is not nearly as physical as IPSC or some of the other games.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because you've got very few stages. Like, you look at, I looked at some of the, was it the SummerSlam videos that Slamfire put up? And man, running those guys got to do up those stairs, down the airplane. I'm looking at it, goes, man, I'd have a heart attack. They'd have to have an ambulance there to pick me up afterwards. So,
I know right now, Peterborough, they're running indoor winter matches. And they only run 4 stages. Yeah, IDPA. and they will allow pretty much all divisions. So an IDPA now, you can run a pistol caliber carbine, which you can put a red dot on, or you can even do carry optics if you have a gun with a slide mounted red dot. So if your eyes are struggling, that could be a good solution. And it's not, there's movement, but you're not running around. Like guys I shoot with, like I wouldn't even call what they do walking. So
walking's good. I can walk.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I always say to Sarah, you're not going to come last. So it's one of those things you could always go out there, give it a try. It's only four stages. I think they do three or four stages. So it's not super intense for your first try back, but
The advantage of IDPA is that you just have to be a member of IDPA. You don't have to, there's no certification. You don't have to take a 2-day black badge course or.
And you don't even need to be a member of IDPA. They changed it recently. It's either two or three. You're allowed to go to two or three matches before you officially sign up with IDPA.
Yeah.
So you'll even get, so you could go out there and give it a shot a couple times. And I mean, you message the match directors there. I'm pretty sure I know which guys run it there. And if I'm thinking of the right people, they're good guys. And yeah, I'm sure they would have no problem with letting you come out, give it a try. And I know those guys will let you shoot whatever division you want. They're not going to be picky about the authenticity of IDPA, whereas you get that in other clubs.
Well, I've been to the Peterborough Club. It's a nice range. And especially if they have indoor matches, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, they run, I only just got on their email list at the end of last year. So I know they're running some indoor winter matches, and I don't know what they'd run over the summer outside.
It's a very busy IPSC range.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So that's a good suggestion. Right. That's a good suggestion.
Well, set it up, and I'll meet you down there.
Well, I just sold my
you know what?
My my IDPA holster to Josh Fast.
You know what? If you meet me there, I will bring my Q5, and I can put a red dot on it.
Oh.
And I have all the gear for you. So if you meet me there, and that's only what, like an hour drive for you? It's like a 3-hour drive for me.
Yeah.
So I'm on the losing end of this deal. I'll meet you down there, and I'll bring all that extra gear so that you can shoot with it.
Okay.
Wow. That's generous.
And that goes, that pretty much goes for any listener. I would rather drive 3 hours and get someone new into shooting, whether it's IDPA or not. I just like getting new people in it.
Is IDPA a lot like how we did at the charity shoot, where it's just sort of transitioning from maybe one stage to another and just shooting, or?
No, that was Steel Challenge. Steel Challenge has, I think there's only like one stage ever in Steel Challenge where you even move. No, IDPA, you're going to move more. It's supposed to be based on, air quote here, defensive situations.
Right.
That's where it originated from in the U.S. So you'll have, there's always a scenario to it. So, you know, you're walking down the street and bad guys show up. And there could be more than one. They can be moving targets, and you have to use cover. So you have to like lean around a wall to shoot targets.
Right.
It might sound more difficult than it is, but I'm telling you, just go out there, try it. It's not as bad as you think.
Yeah, it's more of a real world defensive scenarios where IPSC is really running and gunning and a game against time. They're two separate. They're very similar. But IDPA is more defensive scenarios, and IPSC started out that way, but now it's just a super competitive pistol competition.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So Wanda, what are your goals for, or sorry, I should say, do you have any goals for this last year?
Well, one was just to get my gun license. That was done. That took almost all year because I did my course last November and then put in my paperwork in April. And so it took all that time to get my gun license.
Wow.
So, yeah. So at least that was done. And we did some different shooting. Like we did the silhouette shooting last year that George and I really enjoyed doing together. And we did the charity shoot and the maple seed. So just carrying on in 2019, the same sort of stuff. I'd like to do another maple seed. And we're entertaining the thought of a charity shoot. I heard that it's going to be out west this year.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. So I don't know. We're entertaining that idea. And I'd really like to do more silhouette shooting. That was a really good time.
Yeah, I was surprised how fun that was. I thought that was going to be like, I don't know, boring shooting, but it was quite a lot of fun.
What range did you do the silhouette shooting at?
We went in Guelph somewhere.
We also did at the charity shoot too.
Yeah, now what we did in Guelph was more the actual silhouette rules. What we did at the charity shoot was just sort of ding. That was fun. Like kind of.
Was it the Sportsman Club of Galt? They actually had the whole.
Yeah, that's
everything
where
set
it
up
was.
In a bunker.
So yes.
You've got all your silhouettes in a bunker, but at the side you have a sight in target and a little gong, so you can sight in first and then you can shoot your silhouettes. That was my first ever silhouette range, and that was an excellent range. I enjoyed shooting it there too.
Yeah, so they had like the chickens up close, and then the pigs, and then the turkeys, and then the rams were like 200 yards back. Like they were way far back. And so that was a good time. I did absolutely horrible. I think out of you shoot like I think 15 of them or something like that. And I think I got like two or three. Like,
but you had fun.
Yeah, we had a really good time. The hard thing was adjusting your scope for each stage, because you have to, you know what I mean, adjust your scope so that it's hitting on target. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, 'cause you've got a nice scope, so I would actually go out beforehand, and 'cause you've got all the hash marks in your reticle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually go out beforehand and see where those hash marks are hitting. Figure it out before you actually start doing the matches.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to do that. We kind of, someone gave us like an estimate of like 20 clicks and on to the next stage, another 20 clicks or something like that. And so we kind of had an estimate, but by the time we got down to the rams, it was just fun. It was just fun. We had a good time. We laughed at each other. And George and I competed against each other, even though I'm a new shooter. Our shooting is pretty close.
Yes, I did a maple seed with George. Oh, apple seed.
Yes. I think my score on the maple seed was fairly close to his apple seed score.
George really came up. Like he really struggled in the beginning, and by the end of it, he was up to sharpshooter. So he was kind of down on himself and like, what are you talking about? Look at where you started. Look where you are now.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, that's excellent. And I said, you've only got like another 35 points to go before you can hit rifleman. I said, you're doing great. He goes, oh yeah, I'm a sharpshooter. Yeah. And once he realized that he was a sharpshooter, yeah, that's great. Because you know, he saw the advancement and then he was happy with what he got.
Yeah. I'd really like to do more silhouette shooting. That was a really good time. at the Guelph.
And I just so like the sound of the steel. Like ting, you yeah. know you hit the target.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good time. So yeah, so I'd like to do another maple seed and oh, and you know what else? I want to buy a 9mm this year. And
excellent.
Start doing some shooting with that.
Do you have any idea what you want?
We were looking at the Glock 4 series. Is that what it's called?
Gen 4. Yeah.
Gen 4. That's what it's called. Yeah. And is it 19 or something?
Have you tried a Glock yet?
I've held them in the store. I haven't tried them yet out on the range. George has, what's that guy's name?
Yeah, the 22 kind of knockoff looking Glock.
Oh, the ISSC or something. He bought it off John. John gave him a small deal on it a few years ago.
Yeah, no. There was somebody that's going to lend us a Glock that we can go out to the range and shoot.
Oh, okay.
And
well, that's good.
And we know them really well. Her name is escaping me.
You're talking about Rick?
Yes.
Rick and Jess?
Woods, yes. Now I'm going to sound like an idiot. But yeah, totally. Rick has offered to lend us his Glock to try it out. Because he's, I think he's got a Gen 4 that he said that we could try.
Excellent. If you get some coaching with Rick, that's excellent.
Yeah, if we can coordinate our schedules to do that, but yeah.
That's good.
It'll be easier once I get my actual membership, and then I can go anytime and catch up with him.
Yeah, you won't have to wait for George or listen to his excuses. You can just leave him in the dust.
Yeah, I won't need him at all.
Yeah.
I can just go to the range and have my own membership and my own gun license, and I have two guns even. I adopted two guns. As soon as I got my license, I have two guns now. So.
That's excellent.
And the addiction continues.
And the addiction. Yeah, so the 9mm is on the horizon for 2019.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get something that fits your hand and something that you can shoot comfortably.
Yeah, we were in the store, and there was one Glock that had a shorter handle than the others. And that felt really good in my hands.
The 19.
Yes.
Yeah,
the 19 slightly smaller.
And you've got small hands. So it's important to get something that fits you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what fits George isn't going to fit you. He's got monster paws.
He does.
He does. He's got big, thick hands. Big, thick
although
fingers.
He does. But he was just sort of whatever you're comfortable with, and he'd be happy to shoot it. So.
Well, that's good. That's good that he's being supportive in that way.
Yeah, and he won the case at the big pink case at the charity shoot for a 9mm. Yeah.
Awesome.
I've got a case for the gun and everything already.
Oh, see, now you need 9mm. You got the case already.
I know.
You just have to throw away that black case that it comes with and give it to George.
Does it come with a case?
Yeah, most of them come with a hard plastic case. Some of them don't. Some come in boxes, but most of them, I believe the Glocks do come in plastic cases.
Yeah.
I think the only gun that I've ever gotten that didn't come, like, or handgun, I should say, that didn't come in a hard plastic case was a Norinco. One Norinco, other Norincos have, and my Takarov, which is a surplus. So
The Rugers now come in cardboard boxes, and so the Smith & Wesson 3 Series, yeah.
Sarah picked up a Smith & Wesson at the end of the summer, and it still came in a hard case.
Really? Which one? Yeah.
9.29.
Oh, but she bought a centerfire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Victory came in a cardboard box. She got a 9.29?
Yeah, I convinced her to start shooting I-Corps.
That's a nice gun.
It is.
Is it the Jerry Michalak version?
Yep. And we've already went on to Brownells and spent more money than the gun was worth to upgrade it.
And so when T lose interest, this will be your I-Corps revolver?
If that happens, it happens. But that's not the plan. I would much rather shoot with Sarah than inherit this gun.
Well, that's half the fun, because you love shooting with Sarah.
Oh yeah, I do. And it's always fun to travel and stuff like that. And it's always nice to go with someone that you actually know and that you know you can sleep in the same hotel room with and not going to get mad at you for snoring or anything, because it's the same thing as if you were at home.
Yeah.
So. So my goals for this last year, I'm trying to remember what they were. I know one of them was to do more dry fire, more live fire. I did start out doing more dry fire during the spring. And then when shooting kind of began, that kind of dropped off. But another member of the club started doing a Wednesday night shoot, just a get together and shoot, which was very beneficial for me because it encouraged me to every week to get out there and shoot at least once a week. So that was good. Didn't quite meet the goals the way I want to, but in a backhand way, I kind of got there. I don't think I quite made the advancements that I want to make in my skill level. I did move up, and I can see that in my I-Corps classification. I'm a high C class with one or two B-class classification under my belt now. So
excellent.
I'm moving in the right direction, but just not as... I just want to move faster than I am, pretty much. So, Thomas, do you have any big strategies for 2019? Or, sorry, do you have any big goals for 2019 besides staying sober?
No, that's my only goal every year. No, what I'd like to do is I'm really interested in the precision, Rimfire precision matches.
So
So I went out and bought the Savage SV, the threaded one, short barrel, same one that Angela has. I got the same gun. So I've got I've taken it out quite, I just put a cheap scope on it for now just to work it in to use it. And even, you know, I'm getting pretty decent groups out of it. The bolt, I complained before that the bolt's painted and I didn't like the way it was grinding. Well, it's smoothed right out now. So now the bolt, it runs smooth. It's very easy just to operate the action now. The only thing I need is an optic. I don't have an optic that has the hash marks that I need for the distances they're shooting at. Most of my high power scopes are multiplex. They're for long range hunting. Like the scope on my Appleseed rifle is a 6-24, but it just has crosshairs. So unless I start doping everything and writing everything down and keeping a sheet, it's going to be a pain. It'd be nicer to have, you know, some hash marks, some reference points.
Yeah. Now, mind you, spending a day at the range figuring out what you'd have to dial to go at different distances and getting out to a match is a lot better than sitting on your butt all year long waiting to save up $300-$500 to buy a new scope.
Oh, the scope's going to be over grand.
Oh, wow. What are you planning on getting?
A couple. I was looking at Vortex. I was looking at one of the Hawks. It depends. The problem is I could take the scope off my 10-22 and I could put a new scope on that, but that would put me into open. Or I could use the Savage and get something under $500 and I could stay in production. So it's, I haven't decided what I'm going to do, but I like using both rifles. Like, I like the 10-22. It's got a nice trigger on it and it's very accurate. And I like the Savage. So it's a toss up. What do I want to do? Do I want to go to open? Do I want to go to production? But I'd like to go to one of my matches because I haven't seen anybody for a couple of years. Like, I haven't seen Rick Romero, or I run into Kelly the odd time at an event, but I haven't seen any of the guys for a couple of years since I haven't been shooting as much. So,
yeah. Well, like I said, it's always better to, even if it puts you in open, throw the scope from your 10-22 onto this rifle and get out to a match. It's better to be in open and out there shooting than, like I said, sitting at home in production.
True. And they've actually going to have a lot more matches this season. So they've gotten some good sponsorship and it's really starting to grow. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I hear a lot of chatter about it at the clubs.
And I think as of this, not quite for towards the end of December, they had over 35 Maple Seed shoots this year across the country. That's a lot. That really
is. That is a lot.
And that was before they still had a couple that had to finish up before the end of December. So over 35. So these guys are traveling all over the country. So they've got more coaches in there now. They've got more people out running the matches. So it's really taken off, which is crazy.
I was just going to say they got quite a few new instructors this year. So they'll be able to expand and not burn out maybe so much.
Well, and it's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of work for the guys. So it's good
that they have
more people on board so they don't burn out. I think that's one of the reasons it's just become so popular. I don't think they expected the amount of interest that they did get right away. Mm-hmm. So they're having to turn people down because they don't have the shoots planned or they don't have the ranges available. I know a friend of mine was looking to have a shoot on his property, but they've got guidelines. Like, you have to have a certain backstop and everything else. So,
yeah. I know the one that we hosted here in London, it sold out so fast. And we did 2 days here.
It's nice having the 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, don't have everything condensed into 1 day. And you get more AQTs in.
No. 2 separate 1 day courses.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a 2 day event.
Yeah. So it was better for them because they were already set up, right? So they could just do 2 consecutive courses and.
Well, I think right now it's just the instruction. There's no history portion.
That's right.
Because originally Appleseed was over 2 days because it's a lot of, you know, American history, and right. I don't think they put any history in the Maple Seed. It's just shooting.
Yeah, it's just the shooting, and it's jam packed for the day because we hardly there's like maybe a short lunch period, and it might be even eating during an instructional period sort of thing.
But they've had a lot of young people interested, a lot of women coming out. So it's taken right off. More or less on equal grounds.
Yes.
Everybody's laying down. Everybody has the same chance. It's just everybody has to just develop their skill levels.
It really does cater to the new shooter and to the one that wants to get more proficient in and more seasoned shooter.
Oh, definitely. I think we all walked away with a lot of improved skills after our Appleseed.
Mm-hmm. Love them. They're awesome.
So is your goal to get your Rifleman patch this year then?
I oogled the pink one. There's a pink one with the Rifleman patch that's all in pink. And I was oogling it. I would love to get one.
I would really like to see you get yours before George does.
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be awesome.
I was really hoping you would.
Well, the first time out and being a new shooter, there was no way. I was just happy with how I shot. Like, I did okay. I don't even know if the second one I'll get one. Maybe the third. We'll see.
What you have to do is for your plan and your strategy is go out and practice the skills that you've already learned and just improve upon those skills. That way, when you have your next maple seed, you'll kick butt.
Yeah, and that's what I love. They've got the challenge every month that you can do and to keep your skills up through the season until maple seed comes around again or whatever. So, yeah.
What about you, Mike? Do you have any goals for 2019?
Survive. with all these matches coming up, a lot of it just I want to make sure that I keep up the good quality of matches. Someone recently said to me that one of the reasons why they stopped shooting at other clubs but they keep shooting at ours is because of the quality of the matches that we put on. So that was actually that felt really good to hear that, you know, that we're running really good high quality matches. So I hope to keep that quality level up nice and high.
That's a nice compliment.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that kind of feedback.
It was nice, especially because I got it at the end of the season when, you know, I was kind of down in the dump the most. You know, I was tired. I was, you know, oh, geez, I'm going to have to do this another year. You know, I'm tired. I don't know if I can do this again. And then, you know, you get a comment like that, and it really does make your day. So, so I hope to keep that high-class matches going, run good matches. My big goal really this year is with I-Corps. The IRC, the International Revolver Championship, is actually in Pennsylvania this year coming up. So that puts me in a position where I can actually go to technically a world shoot for I-Corps. So
road trip.
I've driven to this club for other matches. So yeah, it's nothing. It's a 7-hour drive. I do that no problem. So it's not just going to the match, though. I have a certain expectation of how I want to do at the match, because I would be disappointed in myself if I either, whether from not practicing enough, but going and underperforming. So my goal this year is to make sure that I get a lot of good dry fire practice in, make sure I get into live fire practice so that when I go to the, you know, I'm not expecting to come first. But I want to at least be proud of my placement, right? I want to walk away from that match knowing that, hey, I went against the top level guys all across the world and I did the best I can do. So that's really my big goal. It's going to be ramping up to that. So nothing but Revolver this year, except for maybe a Nipsic.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself, because then you'll take the fun factor out of it. Just, you know, just do what you do. Like you practice a lot. You compete a lot. You dry fire a lot. Just don't put too much. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm also an incredibly competitive person. like I got into shooting and I was like, ooh, 22. That's fun. And then I'm like, wait a second. I can do competition. Like, I shot my 22 at the Maple Seed. I think I shot it once before that to make sure the scope was dialed in. And I don't think I've shot it since. like, I just have no interest in that stuff. All my interest goes into competitive shooting. So,
you haven't put a new scope on your 22 since the Maple Seed?
Not the one that I shot this year. Oh. I bought a new scope this year to put on my rifle for the Maple Seed, which I have since taken off. But I just have no interest in that kind of shooting. All my interest goes into like competitive handgun shooting. So there's definitely a certain amount of pressure I'm going to put on myself one way or another, just because I want to perform. And like I said, I don't expect to come first, but you know, like if you go to a match and sometimes you walk away and you're like, you know what? I just did the best I could, you know, and you feel proud. Like you could come second to last, but you're like, I did the best I could. And you feel proud of yourself. And that's the way I'm aiming for. I just don't want to leave that thing going, you know, if I just dry fired a little more, you know, I wouldn't have made those stupid mistakes. If I just live fired a little more, you know, I wouldn't have missed that, you know, target that shouldn't have been so hard.
Or I wasn't so hungover before I went to the match. I would have done better.
Wait, you cannot be hungover at a match?
Yeah.
That's an option.
Wow.
Well, especially
you have to take that into advisement.
Especially when you travel a long distance for a big match, a lot of times people get together the night before. They'll have some food, they'll have some drinks, they'll end up in somebody's hotel room afterwards and partying on, and then they have to function with four or five hours sleep on the range while they detox. So yeah.
Well, I mean, especially when you don't see a lot of these guys. Like you see a bunch of people at the range, but you only see them for what, like the 5 hours that the match is on for.
Yeah.
But when you actually get to go out for dinner with them and have drinks afterwards, it kind of changes the situation a little bit. But
it does. It does. And there's nothing wrong with it. Just, you know, if you know you have to be at your best the next day, you know.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't see Mary Pachter going to a world event and staying up all night partying the night before. I just don't see it.
Well, I also don't stay up. Well, I do stay up all night, but that's because I work at night shift. But I don't stay up all night when I don't have to. But yeah, so that's my big goal is to do that. And, you know, I'd really like to see myself at least climb into B-class shooter in I-Corps, maybe even into A. But I just want to keep climbing that ladder.
And you will. I have no doubt that you will.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is the big push for the revolver, because I also kind of told myself that at the end of this year, I'm going to rethink whether I'm going to keep shooting revolver, at least in all the other disciplines. So this will be the decision year. So if we do good, I'll stick with it. But if it crashes and burns, then you might see me with something else next year. Anyone else have any resolutions that they want to discuss?
I don't think so. The only other thing I've been thinking about is getting another dog. It has nothing to do with shooting, but I've been thinking about another dog.
You know what should be on your list? And I'm putting it on your list for you. You're going to go to an IDPA match with me.
Okay. We were supposed to last year. We never did.
Were we?
Yeah.
Back on the list. That could explain why it didn't happen. Okay, well, this year, 2019, we'll make it happen.
Okay, sounds good.
That's good. That sounds good.
Yep.
What kind of dog are you thinking about getting, Thomas?
Well, you know, even though I love the German Shorthaired Pointers, they are such a high-energy dog. I mean, the colt had to be walked 3 or 4 times a day, or he had to have at least a good couple hours of runtime every day.
Yeah.
Even though I love the breed and everything else, I'm not getting any younger. My health isn't getting any better. I think I'm going to get a dog a medium size this time. Yeah. Haven't decided yet.
A lab?
I like the labs. I like the goldens. I don't even mind like the small, like the Brittany Spaniel or the English one. I don't know.
Are you okay with all the hair?
No. That's why I got the short hair. I got 3 cats. What do I need another long hair? You know, dogs I've always loved since I was a kid, because my grandmother always had one, was Afghans. They're beautiful dogs, but man, every time you take it out, you gotta brush it. If it runs through the bush, you're screwed. You're there with scissors, cutting the burrs, and just like the cats, but bigger.
Very.
I think we would probably end up getting another German Shorthair Pointer from the same breeder. It'll be the same bloodline, because
as Colty.
Yeah, well, Colt was my first dog's nephew. My first dog was Ruger, and Colt was Ruger's nephew, and they bred Ruger's sister or Colt's nephew for or sister Nova, I think, for 10 years. So there's still lots of dogs out there with the same bloodline. So we'll see. I'm still having a hard time. I'm still getting over him. I don't know if I want another dog, but I've been thinking about it. I've been torturing myself is what I've been doing.
Aww.
And of course, I tortured Terry. Oh, look at this puppy. Oh, it's so cute. I don't want a dog. So.
Puppies are very cute. Puppies are a lot of work.
They are. Well, that's another thing. I'd have to have at least a month vacation off.
For sure.
Actually, when I first lost Colt, Tim Krosno suggested that I get another puppy. And actually, that's actually the good thing to do. Like if you have a hard time getting over the pain of losing a pet, getting another pet helps. It doesn't completely make you feel any better, but it makes a big difference. Cause when I lost my first one, I was depressed for a couple of months. And then once I got Colt, it made things a lot easier. I don't know if I want to go through. We're still not sure. I've been looking at dogs, but I'm not sure if I want to do it again, but I do miss my co-host. He recorded every podcast Colt recorded with me. And now I just got a cat in my room. The evil cat. But that's it. That's the only other thing I've been thinking about. So we'll go out. We'll do an IDP A match in Peterborough this year, Mike.
That sounds fun.
And it's not far. It's 45 minutes an hour.
For you?
Yeah, just straight up 35, 115.
Oh, to Peterborough. Yeah, it's about a 4-hour trip for me, but I have a lot of family in that area.
You were supposed to come out last on the 29th.
I know.
But I found my sling.
Good.
I thought for sure that the sling was in the case that I lent you.
No.
And then I'm in the basement one time. And I'm looking all over for it because you said you didn't have it. Because, well, it's got to be here. And no. Then I look up in the rafters and I see my aggressor case. I go, oh, that's my Appleseed case. All the 1022 mags were in there. The sling was in there. Everything was in there. So.
Yeah.
I forgot where I put it because it was above my head and I didn't see it.
Yeah, we lost our dog sitter and had to cancel all our plans that weekend, but we'll reschedule.
Okay, no problem.
All right. So events. What events do we have here, Thomas?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. Well, you wrote SHOT Show.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only event coming up.
Okay.
What's that? SHOT Show is the, I don't remember what it stands for, but it's basically
shooting, hunting, and outdoor trade show.
That's it. I wasn't going to look it up because Las Vegas.
Oh.
And basically, it's a trade show that's not open to the public, and it's for military, law enforcement, and retailers. So anything shooting or hunting related will be down there. It's Benny went last year, and it's in a massive facility, and it's a 4-day event. So I think Mario suggested that I bring comfortable shoes. I think I will take his advice.
Oh, you're going?
Yeah, I got to work it for 4 days.
And when is that?
I fly out the 21st.
Of January.
January, yeah.
Nice.
I didn't want to go last year. And then I got... Because I know what it is for a lot of the guys. It's just a party, right? You go, you work all day at the booth and everybody parties at night and it's a like things that happen in Vegas stay in Vegas kind of thing. And it's not my thing. I don't party. I don't drink. I don't like being around that type of atmosphere. So I didn't go last year and they asked me again this year. I said, yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the environment as I get older.
Sure.
So I'll be working at the Eagle Import booth. They carry the American importer for Grand Power, and they carry a lot of other brands too. So at least I get to meet quite a few people. I know Mike Isen from the Reloading podcast. He's going to be there. So I missed Mike at the maple seed we did down at was it Ohio? They had a maple seed. They had another apple seed at Stacy's. I didn't go to the second one, and Mike and his boys went there. So I'm looking forward to meeting Mike. I think Heinrich from the Geek Gadget and Gun podcast, he'll be there. Matt couldn't get the time off work. And there's a couple of people I want to meet. Robert from Redhill Tactical. there's a reviewer, Patrick Kelly, that does a lot of YouTube videos. Hopefully I get to see him. And you never know. Last year, Gavin and them, they met Hickok 45. So it should be interesting. I know Gavin and Angela are going. The rest of the Ragnarok Tactical crew are not. So at least I'll have some people to hang out with. And of course, Kayla will be there too. So
that's good. All right. So listener emails, I didn't actually pull any up, but we did get a few while we were on our hiatus. So we just want to say thank you to those listeners. It's good to know that we were missed. If you have any feedback, questions, or comments, you can send them to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in our comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and leave us a comment and rating on iTunes. Shoutouts. Thomas, you have any shoutouts?
Similar to what you said, a lot of the listeners, I can't see the email, so if you don't send it on Facebook, I don't see it. George put up this really bizarre code. I can never get in, but Mike and George can open the emails. But a lot of the listeners do keep in touch with me. Listener Josh, Jeff, Terry, George's friend, he actually wrote us about a Christmas show. I assume that George would get back to him since he's buddies, but I apologize, Terry, we didn't answer. I know we didn't have a Christmas show this year. Gareth, and of course, listener Thomas, who's helped me out a few times at the range. So we appreciate that. And Wanda, thank you very much for being one of our new co-hosts.
Aw, thanks, Thomas.
You have any shout-outs, Wanda?
I have a couple. Just to George and Thomas for helping me get my license. The testimony that they gave to the RCMP really helped. To Bullseye for being so great when I went in and did my first purchase. For you guys for entertaining my interest in joining. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, my shout out just go to the, once again, the listeners who contacted us. It was really good to know that we were missed, and we hope to make this regular again. I think we call the last episode the, what did we call the last episode? We're back? Well, this will be We're Back 2.
Yeah, I think what we're going to not do a weekly episode. We'll do a bi-weekly. It makes it a lot easier for everybody else. You know, Mike works nights. I work evening shift. Have you retired yet, Wanda?
No, I'm evenings. I have eight years left to retirement.
Okay, so, and you're on evening shift too, so.
Yeah, evening shift. my evening shifts are changing, though, in March. March I'll be kind of like 11 to 19 is my shift, Monday to Friday. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Benny's basically doing, some days he's overworked, some days he's underworked, but he's got two different things that he's doing. So he's running around all over the place. You know, and he's got young family, so he has to get the work in when we can.
Yep. All right. Well, how do we do this again?
Hey, so Wanda, you need a sign off.
I got one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got one. Take your lady shooting.
I like it.
That's how I got in, right?
Yep.
It took me 6 years, but he started taking me to the range. I was like, no, I'm never getting my license. And then, oh, this is kind of fun I want to get my own license. So just keep taking her to the range.
Yeah,
I like it. So I guess I'll steal George's this week. Keep both barrels down range and smoking.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for waiting for us.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.